Well, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, according to Ephesians 1, has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What blessings we enjoy in our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I appreciate you tuning in today. I want to say, Roberta and I really miss you all. And a month ago or so, I really thought that we would be able to meet again by April 26, today. And then my hope was that on May 3rd, surely we could have a service. Well, that doesn't look like that's going to work out. And the stay-at-home order goes until May 3rd, and it may be extended longer. I really think our governor may extend the stay-at-home order, the lockdown, until the middle of May or so. But I don't know. We'll see. We just need to pray for our leaders, including our governor, pray for the decisions that they are all responsible for. But anyway, here we are at home or wherever. We're not in church, but we can serve the Lord and know the blessings of the Lord. And I trust you're spending time and worshiping him and serving him in ways maybe you've never been able to do before. I'm going to read from, first of all, I'll read from Isaiah 46, verse 9, or a little bit. I'm going to read from Isaiah 46, 9, and then I'll turn to Hebrews 6, verse 18. But I want to say, we have a great God as our very own God. And we have the privilege of knowing this God who wants to be known and has made himself known throughout the scripture. Jesus Christ made him known to us and provided the way for us to know him intimately and personally and eternally. He said, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, John 1:18. You know, it is very comforting to realize that our God is in complete control of every single event, every thought, every action, every decision made by every man, woman, and child. He is accomplishing his will in the heavens and upon the earth. He is in total and complete and perfect control of every virus in the universe. This virus we call the China virus or the coronavirus or whatever, but it originated with God, not China. And no man can hinder what he will do. He will accomplish his will. No man can thwart his purposes. He is God, and there is none else. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-wise. And we read in Daniel 4:35 that he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can stop his hand and say, what doest thou? Or what are you doing? You know that he's in control of every bird that flies and every bird that dies. There's one estimate I saw that places the bird population of the world at 200 to 400 billion. And they say that possibly 1 billion birds die every year or whatever. The estimates are all over the place. And listen to what Jesus said about those dying birds. In Matthew 10:29, he said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing or a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. God feeds the birds, and he watches over the deaths of a million or more birds every day, and they aren't even redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so how much more is it true that he is watching over you, his chosen one, his child, his beloved, every moment of every day? God is sovereign. He reigns over the universe, and yet he still has time to love you and care for you and show mercy to you and provide for you. And he will never, never, ever fail you nor forsake you because the Lord is your helper, Hebrews 13:6. Then I'm going to look at Isaiah 46:9. If you turn there, look at Isaiah 46:9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure or purposes. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Wow. I can rest in him and have peace in the storm, knowing that everything, yeah, everything is going according to his perfect purpose, his plan, and accomplishing his pleasure. What I want, what pleases me, is of no matter. When God does his pleasure and his will in my life, then it's all good, no matter how bad it may seem. According to Hebrews 6:18, we are in a time of hoping. We read that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. We have a hope, so friends, this is a time for hoping. Even in these days of unrest, uncertainty, and unraveling. And sometimes we say, I sure hope they find a vaccine. I sure hope this virus goes away. I hope the economy doesn't come crashing down. Well, in times like that, these may or may not come to pass, but let us lay hold of the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul. Jesus is many things to us, known by many names, and none so comforting as anchor of the soul. You know, this hurricane of a pandemic may blow, and the timbers of the ship of our economy may collapse and leave us in ruins, but we are secure through it all, for we have an anchor of the soul that is both sure and steadfast. Christ is a hiding place from the wind, Isaiah 32:2 says. He is a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He's all we need. He really is all we need. If we can just get a hold of that truth, this nation may never be the same. And we may lose everything, or we may lose a lot anyway, but one thing is sure, we will never lose Christ, for he will never lose us, and he will never change. Well, here we are, in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. Sometimes I think we're living out an episode from the old TV series, The Twilight Zone. It's an eerie scene in the show because a man wakes up and he shockingly discovers that the streets are empty and all the shops and businesses are closed and no one is outside. What we're living out today would, I think, make a good Twilight Zone show. It's unbelievable how this virus spread across the globe from such a small beginning several months ago. To the whole world. Who could ever have imagined that we would shut down almost all of our privately owned businesses in the world to combat this disease? Who ever heard of such a thing? Something like this has never happened before. There are now many who say we should never have shut down the businesses. Well, I don't know. We may never know. But we're beginning to find out that maybe the cure is going to be worse than the disease. Others believe that we should stay shut down for another year or year and a half, if you can believe that. But here we are, and we are where we are. And we need to look ahead. Rather than look back at what we should have done, how we should have handled the pandemic, we need to move forward and make the best of it and see God's hand in it all and glorify him, as we have been pointing out in recent messages. The world fumbles and tumbles along in darkness. looking for light but finding none. But God's people have the brilliant divine light of the inspired Word of God. We have a treasure. We know what we know that God knows what He is doing, and we know Him, and we know what we are to be doing because He has told us. And so it's a time of hoping. It's a time of hoping. And according to the Bible, this present time should be a time for trusting. A time for trusting. As a born-again believer, my life is in God's hand. My times are in God's hand. Psalm 31:15, my times are in thy hand. And all things pertaining to my life are God's working. He's working out His will. And all things are working together for good to them that love God. Romans 8:28. It's time to practice what we profess to believe and join the saints of old in saying, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Isaiah 12:2. It should also be a time of examining our faith, waking up and examining our faith and our walk with God. Romans 13:11-12 say, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of life. The armor of light. Let's put it on. But I'm fearful. As to what may come, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what this world will look like in the next few months. How many will die? Am I and my family going to be all right? What about the economy? Will we go bankrupt? Will we lose our retirement? Will we become a socialist state? I feel so weak and powerless and helpless in the light of all this upheaval. I'm fearful. I'm uncertain. I don't know what the future will bring. Well, you know what? That's exactly where God wants you to be. Where you and I don't know what to do. Where you don't feel that you have the strength to go on. Remember what God said to Paul when he asked the Lord to remove his thorn in the flesh, his trouble, some problem he was dealing with and wanted to go away? Did God take it away? No, He didn't. Even though Paul prayed 3 times that God would remove it. We're like that, aren't we? We want God to rescue us from the problem, from the crisis we are facing. Will He take it away? He may not, but He'll bring us through. We read that passage in 2 Corinthians 12:8. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So it's a time for hoping, a time for trusting, a time for examining, and it's a time for strengthening. It's a time for the strengthening of our faith. We say that this, so we then say this crisis we're going through is to strengthen us. It's to refine us. It's to dust us off, clean us up, and get us useful for the Lord. It can be and ought to be for our good. For this time of trial is when we are strong in the grace that God says is sufficient for thee. We may not like it, whatever the trial or hardship may be, but it is ultimately for our good and for His glory. He is working out His perfectly designed will for our betterment. And yet we say, I don't know if I can handle this anymore. Well, one writer said, God doesn't give us what we can handle. God helps us handle what is given. God doesn't give us what we can handle. God helps us handle what He's given. And so we just need to move forward. We need not fear. We need not worry. Though I will admit, I do at times. And I don't mean we don't take precautions, as we've been told over and over and over again. Yes, I know, 6 feet apart, wear a face mask, cover your cough, all of that. Yes, we are cautious and respectful, but we don't need to cower in our corners and live in fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound, disciplined mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. You see, God has won the victory. God has given us the victory over sin, over death, and over hell, and over fear, and over worry, and over doubting. We are a kingdom people. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're bound for the promised land, so let's live like those who have the victory. Remember when Joshua was ready to lead the people into the land of Israel, they were facing some serious hardships along the way, and God encouraged them when he said, "No man will be able to stand before thee. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee," in Joshua 1, verse 5. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous." And he says the same to you and me. Just be strong and take courage. And then God brought him into the land, and he brought him to the swelling Jordan River, and he split the waters like he split the Red Sea, and they walked through on dry ground, and they took the formidable and well-fortified city of Jericho. But they had to put their foot in the water before God divided the water. And that's us. We need to step out by faith, and then God will do his work. And then the unlikely band of ill-equipped Jews who had no chariots, no horses, no armor or spears, marched silently around the city of Jericho 7 times, with 7 priests blowing 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And with a shout, the Lord caused the walls to come down, and they took the city for God, and they took the city because God gave them the city, and God gave them the victory, and he got the glory. And that's all in, I believe it's in Joshua chapter 6. You see, he loves to take weak things, puny things, things that are nothing, and use them, and he gets the glory. We've got our Jerichos to deal with, don't we? We've got our Canaans and Jordan Rivers and Jerichos before us, but we also have God's promises and presence with us and above us, and he always, always goes before us. We sing, "I am bound for the promised land, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land." Let's go together. Let's join the throng. We're headed to glory, and God is our captain, and he's the one who goes before us. You and I grow fearful and anxious about many things. You know, sometimes I wonder, what in the world did we worry about before this virus? Whatever it was, it doesn't seem like a very big deal anymore. There's always concern in our lives, and we find that we are helpless to deal with it. But we are never, never, ever hopeless, because our help is riding to our rescue on the wings of the wind. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And verse 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul. And then in Psalm 124, and verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's our help. Our help comes from above. Do you sometimes feel helpless? I do. I know I do. He is a help for the helpless and a hope for the fainting and failing heart. Our help doesn't come from down here. It doesn't come from our neighbors, our family, our government, but from above, from the hills. High help is what we need when we're down. And our help comes from the maker of heaven and earth, no less. And if he can create and take care of his creation, he won't let your foot be moved. He won't fall asleep. He'll be your shade. He cares so much about you that he doesn't even want you to get too much sun. Psalm 121, 6. He will preserve your going and coming forever. We need to believe this truth, that God is not only able, but very, very willing and desirous to help, to deliver in His way and His time. God doesn't want to make our life miserable. He wants to give us joy and peace. We travel an appointed way, and we can trust Him. Sometimes we doubt God's willingness, but surely and truly God is able and willing to meet your needs and undertake for you. Paul trusted God throughout his Christian life. He was a pillar of faith and trust in God. And that was clearly revealed in his life one time when he was taken as a prisoner to Rome on a ship that was being broken up on the way to stand before Caesar. It was the plan. And the ship was broken up because of a great storm on the Mediterranean Sea, as we read in Acts 27:20. And they were exceedingly tossed with the tempest, in Acts 27:20. And they began to throw things overboard. And we read, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And they were in a very desperate situation. But listen to Paul in verse 22. He says to the others on the ship, and now I exhort you, be of good cheer. In other words, cheer up, mates, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, who I belong to, whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given them all that sail with thee. And so Paul said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God, is what he said. I believe what God said to me tonight is true. We're going to get to where we're going. We're on an appointed journey. He believed God. I believe God. That's all we need to do. Believe. Just simple faith, a singular focus on God, and a simple faith in God. And our faith will not be a true faith unless we love God. And I love God because I believe God. Do not be satisfied that you see God until you see Him to be your God. We need to take hold of Him with both our hands and with all our strength. We need to pour out our heart before Him. The psalmist said in Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You see, God is able and willing. He is well able, and he is more than willing. And he can be completely trusted. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is holy. He is merciful. He is compassionate. He is love. He is able and willing to come to your rescue, to your help. The things of this earth, the earthly trinkets that shine and glitter, will never satisfy, will never bring contentment, will never bring peace or joy. So let's fix our eyes and our hearts on God, our Savior. In Him there is more than we need, more than we desire, more than we can imagine. Infinitely more. And so we can say with Paul, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And that's Romans 8:31-32. If he gave his son, will he not give us the lesser? Because nothing is as valuable as his son. And he gave the most valuable gift that could ever be given. God is for us. God said to his people in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And he said in Hebrews 3:5-6 in part, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I have a hope. I have a help. I have a hope as an anchor, and I can trust him to do good. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. And when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. That's my prayer, that our hope, all of our hopes, would be built on him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your promises to us. Thank you for your promise of your presence and your deliverance and your way and your time. We pray for one another. We pray for those who may not know Christ as Savior, that they will call upon him to be saved. We pray, Lord, that you'll heal this land and that you'll take away this virus, Lord, and that you will undertake for those who've lost loved ones, undertake for those who are going through really difficult times these days. We pray for our leaders, that you'll give them wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Bless us. We continue on serving you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you again for joining us.